Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I haven't heard that Kyler Murray interview. Everyone says that it was absolutely terrible.
I watched it live. And Patrick kept peppering with questions. And I mean, Dan Patrick's known for quick questions to the point, and Kyler Murray was giving him absolutely nothing. Like zero.
Why go on there then?
Because Gatorade was paying him to go on there. I think is how that thing played
That's
out.
The problem. He needs better handlers, because if you're not going to answer those questions, you just can't do it. You can't accept the money from Gator. You can't go.
Yeah, that's just not the interview that you should sign up for if you're not going to answer questions about the only reason you would talk to Kyler Murray right now. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. We'll also go through some player props coming up in 15 minutes. Today's pop quiz was, well, you guys know what the pop quiz was. The winner got $25 to Twin Peaks, so congratulations to our winner. The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we will get into pick a player, but we are very happy to be joined by Barbershop. How you doing, man?
What's up, family?
Nothing, man. How you doing? How you been, man? We missed you.
Yeah, that's good. I feel a little missed. I feel like feel like back in the saddle again, like an old cowboy. Fell off my horse. I'm back in the saddle again.
When he says we misses you, he just means he missed you, because didn't miss you.
I didn't miss you.
The listeners miss me, man. Come on, man. You know that text line about to blow up.
Nah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Barbershop 5'9" back in his house.
All right, so you wanted to come on and talk Super Bowl today.
Yeah.
That's Barbershop. I don't know if you know this
or not. I'm a football guy. That's what I do.
Kansas City's not that interested in the Super Bowl. I'm interested in the Super Bowl. Oh. Fanning's interested in it. BK's interested in it. I don't think Kansas City's that interested in the Super Bowl. I think they're still hurt from last week.
I'm not a fan. I'm a football guy. So if you got football, I don't care if it's Little League, Pop Warner. There's a field, 100 yards, quarterbacks and receivers.
Like XFL, Alliance of American Football.
I'm going to watch AAFL, whatever it's called.
Are you going to play?
No.
Okay, I didn't know.
I'm going to watch it, though. I'm going to watch it and see if there's some talent out there.
Hey, you got to – so, I mean, you could just tell us now. It's a good time to break the news. I mean, Chiefs are looking for a couple of linebackers coaches. When did you interview? How did it go? And when do you plan on finding out if you got the gig?
Hey, man, like I said, I'm a football guy. So if somebody was to call me from One Arrowhead Drive and ask me, I would definitely sit down and let them know what I know.
I just want to know how the interview went, because I think my sources tell me it's already happened. Is that true or not?
No, that's totally false.
Okay.
I always wondered about your sources, and now I know. I've always wondered. Now I know 100% your sources are just when you go to sleep at night.
Sean, let's start with this. What is the most interesting storyline in the Super Bowl to you?
The ram against the goat. The battle of a ram versus a goat. What's going to persevere? What's going to come out? Is Brady going to put another ring on his fingers? He going to have another MVP on the showcase? Or is it time to pass the mantle on and say, you know, though he's the goat, the goat got some gray hairs, and it's time for a young buck to, you know, a young team to take control of the league. I think the nature of things is you can only ride high so long. It's one thing to achieve a championship. It's a whole other thing to maintain that level. The Patriots have maintained that level, that championship level, for a decade. I think it's about time to turn the page and let some fresh faces run the league.
Sean, I mean, excuse me. Looking at this, I think that's kind of where everybody is. I'm really interested in Todd Gurley for some reason. Because, like, I feel like I know what basically everybody's going to do except him. Like, this is a game that he could have 5 carries for 25 yards, and I wouldn't be surprised just based on the NFC Championship game. Or he also could be Ty Gurley from week 7, come out here and completely dominate the tempo, and then win Super Bowl MVP. Like, I have no clue what to expect going into this matchup with Ty Gurley.
I would look into the latter. I would think that as much rest as he has, not looking for any – there is no tomorrow for anybody, right? So this is it. There is no saving anything for the next game. There is no other game to prepare for. So, I mean, I think if you see Todd Gurley with 10 to 15 touches, I think those 10 to 15 touches are going to be he's going to be running or catching or carrying the ball, blocking. Whatever he's doing, he's going to be doing it with a purpose. And I think you've rarely seen Todd Gurley on level 10. I think we've always seen him at like an 8 to 9 kind of saving himself a little bit to finish the game, to finish the season, to prepare for the playoffs. But now in the Super Bowl, I mean, he's going to be running that rock with a little bit more intensity that I don't think anybody has seen before.
I think the Rams are going to use Gurley kind of the way the Patriots used Gronk against the Chiefs. That's what I think. I mean, I think the Rams pulling a little bit of a rope-a-dope, resting Gurley, didn't necessarily need him. I'm going to buy a little bit that McVay kind of forgot about him when it came to play calling. But if you think Todd Gurley's not going to have a huge impact on this game, I think you're nuts, because I think they're going to use him a lot.
Well, I think the results were the results. I think that as long as they end up rushing the ball effectively, the Rams didn't really care about C.J. Anderson or Todd Gurley. It was more so just being effective in the run game and then having a capable guy out there to, when they do bring pressure, or if you had to have a guy in for third down to block, somebody who knew the blocking scheme and the blocking protection, and be able to get that done effectively. So at the end of the day, they did enough, whether it was running the ball, passing the ball, playing on defense, whatever they did, their recipe for success got them to Atlanta. And I think you're going to see a little bit different version of the Rams versus the Patriots, because I think we know what the Patriots are going to do. They're going to take away something. I think that something they take away is going to be probably Cooks. I would take away Cooks, because that's the guy that can, you know, hurt you bad, hurt you deep. And then have some extra eyes on Gurley. So be very leery of this tight end, this Everett kid. That kid's an athlete, man. I think he's the kind of athlete that can get away.
You got us in L.A.
You got us in L.A. I mean, he has the athleticism to, if you don't account for him, he's a match-up nightmare. That's what I was trying to say. He's a matchup nightmare for almost anybody on the defensive side of the ball. You just got to get the ball into his hands. So it's going to be a great day on Sunday, man. Great day out here in Kansas City to be out, hopefully watching the game from the outside patio someplace. I will tell y'all why I'm watching it, but I don't want a bunch of people there.
Where are you watching?
Definitely not an outside patio. I don't know where you think we moved to.
Where are you watching it,
Sean? I'm watching it from Talk of the Town. All right, one of the Talk of the Town locations. Don't be looking.
Which one?
I'm not telling you. I just said I'm not telling.
I'm just asking.
It's two locations.
What if I wanted to come hang out with you?
Look for one. Look for the other.
Okay.
You're invited. You can come on hang out with me and watch the game.
Man, I might do that.
After the show's up, I'll tell you which location.
I'm actually really surprised that you're watching at a sports bar. You seem like that you want to be comfortable. You want to be able to scream and be loud. It's kind of hard to be comfortable at a sports bar watching a big game.
No, that's where I feel most comfortable. I mean, I want to know what's going on. I want to hear what people are crying about, banging on the tables about when they think a call wasn't made. They think there was some kind of injustice. They think there should be, you know, second and one. They think that the other team's going to go up top. You know, I want to feel it. I want to feel what the game is like from the fans' point of view, and then kind of, you know, have a small audience to just sprinkle some of my knowledge in. I'm going to pull me a Tony Romo, try to call some plays before the plays are made and see how accurate I can be. I think I can beat 65%.
Fanning actually hates Romo.
It's a lot of things about Fanning that kind of, you know.
He hates Romo.
No, it's like, let me clarify that, though, man. It's like, I love the information that he gives. He just kind of annoys me as a broadcaster. That's really it. Because, I mean, it's pretty awesome to hear him call out a play, and then you know what to look for. I enjoy that part of it, but as a broadcaster, I'm just not a huge fan. I know that's taboo because everybody loves up some Tony Romo right now. Boy, you can't say anything bad about Tony Romo. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of his broadcast style. I love his information, you know. So, I mean, that's all I'm saying. I don't hate Tony Romo.
Well, I don't disagree. You know, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so Romo and Witten both can leave and never come back, and we can find some people to take both of their spots. But as far as, you know, like you're saying, as far as what he's showcasing, as far as showing just enough of what he thinks the offense is doing to be able to have the audience kind of prepared for
the
situation, the scenario. Yeah. Just with the, you know, the over-guessing and over-calling some of the plays, and then when anytime there's a flag, he goes off the chain about how many different things it could have been. This was offside. Oh, it could have been illegal formation. It could have been, like, we all know that, man.
Yeah, that's the part that I hate. You know, it's like, just shut up for a minute.
Sometimes,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes he needs to just sit down and be humble.
Yeah, I think as a broadcaster, especially when you're doing games, and I haven't done a ton of them, but I've done enough to know that, I mean, you got to let the game breathe a little bit. So I think Romo is just a little bit over the top on some of that stuff when he ought to just shut the hell up.
Yeah, man, like a fine wine. When you open that bottle, man, sometimes you got to, you know, pour it in the decanter, let that thing breathe a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Let the bouquet kind of...
Can you do something for me, though?
What was that?
We got a request on the text line. I'm going to count you down, and then I need you to say Line Judge 79. Can you do that for me? They need a new one.
I don't think he's officiating this game. I think me and him, we saw, you know, he saw the game. He saw that being one way. I saw it being another.
Yeah.
I rewatched it a few times. I saw him start one place, take a few steps in one place, then at the ball snap, take another step. We talk about some illegal motion.
Yeah,
that should have been flagged for illegal motion. I ain't seen no line judge take that many steps before and after the play and still make a, you know, somebody calling somebody offside. So.
Line judge 79.
Sean, I want to run this by you really quickly, and we'll take a break here after this. I kind of think that Aaron Donald is the key to this game. Because I'm thinking back to when the Chiefs played the Patriots and their inability to get pressure on Brady, only got 6 hurries on Brady, didn't get a quarterback sack in the game. If Aaron Donald doesn't show up in this game and doesn't have an impact and doesn't make a game-changing kind of play, I don't see how the Rams win this game.
I think that's a smart bet, man. I mean, if you had to place a bet on one team or the other, it being just one factor, I think the center and the 2 guards going against Sue and Donald, I think either you favor that being advantage the Rams, or you think that the Patriots offensive line is good enough to keep those guys from the launch spot. You know, Brady is very comfortable when he's protected and when he has that launch spot and he can step up. He becomes – that's when you see him play it like the GOAT. But when you move him off that spot, sometimes you see him play like Billy Goat. He don't look like the greatest of all time once he gets off that spot sometimes. So bringing pressure up the middle, those two guys intervening and being able to inject themselves right in that pocket and kind of puncture the pocket from the middle, and making Brady kind of, you know, get on his skates a little bit. And then also, you know, as far as being able to take away the run, those guys they're a force to be reckoned with in both the pass and the run game. And when you have to pay those two people so much attention, it allows Dante Fowler Jr. and other guys to, you know, showcase and come to life. So that Rams defense is going to be, I mean, that's what I'm putting my money on. I'm putting my money on the Rams defense.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And we'll go through some player props with Sean Barber. Coming up next is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Let's give props with the guys from The Drive.
It is time to do some Super Bowl props. The former NFL linebacker, Sean Barber. It is The Drive coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Sean Barber, are you ready?
I'm always ready for some props, man. You, the listeners, I hope they got their pencils and papers ready, their spreadsheets, writing down all this great information. I take this stuff to heart, so it ain't just like I'm, you know. And this is what I do.
You are Sean Stradamus. This is
what I do.
This is the best time to be Sean Stradamus.
Super Bowl.
Over under on passing yards for Tom Brady. 300.5. Will Brady have more or less in the Super Bowl?
Brady will have more than 300 yards in the Super Bowl. 305. I can tell you the exact what I think he's going to have. I think he's going to have 334 yards.
334.
I got 334. Huh? Are you writing? Somebody
writing? I'm writing it down. Okay. I got it. Yeah, because we're going to check on this stuff on Monday.
I'm not going to write it down because I just listened to the podcast page on 610sports.com, also on the radio.com app.
That's another way to do it.
So that's what I do. I don't write it down.
That was sharp right there. That's good.
Who is going to have the most rushing yards in the game? Sonny Michel is the favorite at +125. You can get Todd Gurley at 2-1. C.J. Anderson on 3-1. Rex Burkhead and James White at 10-1. Are you going to take a flyer? Or are you going to stick with the safe pick and Sonny Michel?
I'm going to stick with the safe pick, Mr. Sonny Michel, running back out of UG. He's at Georgia, UGA, Bulldog. Is going to he's going to run for about 105 yards on the day.
That means you got the Patriots winning this game then. Sounds like.
If you didn't hear the first segment, you would.
My bad. I'm just saying. I
was here for the first segment, so I don't know.
I know, but the Patriots—they are 11-0 when Sonny Michel runs for 100 yards. Yards.
Listen, you are always trying to teach history lessons.
I'm just trying to give you stats. I can't give you stats, Barbershop. You tell me you love stats. Not now, Super Bowl time. You don't like stats.
I just now saw a game where Tom Brady threw 2 interceptions, and somehow they still moved on.
Actually, threw 3, but. There's an offsides penalty.
You could tell that one kind of cut you deep, Barbershop. Mm-hmm.
It went against everything I know. I mean, you don't turn the ball over at that rate, and penalties. I mean, those things.
You don't sound like you're over it.
No, I'm ready to move it. I got until Sunday. Sunday kickoff, I'll be ready. I'll be like all Super Bowled out. But right now, yeah, I still got
probably gonna be writing guys up for uniform violations.
Nah, man,
you're not. That season's over.
On the TV. Next up, will Gronk retire after the game? Yes, at +450. No, at -850. So if you bet $100 on Gronk to retire, you will get $450 if he does. You have to bet $850 to win $100 if you think that he will play next season. What are you doing, Barbershop?
I thought we was doing Super Bowl.
Gronk ain't playing in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure he's playing in the Super Bowl.
You can't even collect that until next season. What kind of?
It's just after the game.
You want my money now?
Yeah, just answer the question, man.
No, he's not going to retire.
Okay, see how easy that was?
So when can I collect my money for that one?
I don't know.
If he doesn't announce after the game, you win.
Yeah, that's how it works. He has to announce after the game. Barbershop.
So even if he does retire, even if he comes to training camp and don't make it to the season, you still win the bet because he didn't announce it? Is that what you're saying?
We got to go to Vegas one day, me and you.
I'm just saying.
To learn a little bit about this stuff.
The details. The details is Gronk will be suited up for some team next year.
I actually don't think he's coming back.
Well,
I guess I'm betting yes on this.
Do you
this.
Think he announces tonight?
I don't think he announces tonight. I think we find out like middle of the week that Gronk's leaning towards not coming back. And then probably, I would say before the draft, I think Gronk announces that he's retiring from the NFL.
I'm with C-Dot on this because Gronk has already said that if he's not playing with Brady, he ain't playing.
So what does that mean?
I think that the Patriots are going to try to trade him this offseason. I think Gronk's going to say, I'd rather just retire and live my life. That's what I think is going to happen with Gronk. That's just my thing. All right, I'll give you one by the Super Bowl, something you can collect immediately.
Thank you.
Over under Julian Edelman.
Ooh.
84.5 receiving yards. Are you taking the over or the under?
On Julian Edelman, I'm taking the over. He's going to have 97 yards.
Can you correct one thing for me? So you got Brady throwing for over 300.
Yep.
You got Sonny Michelle having the most rushing yards.
105.
You got Edelman eating. But you still got the Rams winning the game? I'm curious.
Well, you're not here for the first segment.
I'm just curious to know. I feel like you're saying all the things in a Patriots win. Like you're saying all the –
You haven't asked me anything about the Rams.
I know.
I
know, but that would be like, you know, if I had asked you, over under on Mahomes passing yards, 350. I'm taking the over. How many yards is Damian Williams going to have? The over. How many yards for Hill? The over. Then you're like, I'm taking Indianapolis. What? Hold on. Well, then you think the Chiefs are winning the game then?
Listen, we're trying to do Super Bowl props. I don't know where you're trying to go with this. Okay? You've got half of it done. Where's the other half? Where's my Rams stuff at?
You got the Patriots scoring about 40 right now.
No, I don't.
Losing.
Okay.
No, I don't.
You ready? I got another one for you. Will Tony Romo predict a play that ends in a touchdown?
Yes, because he gets to see the personnel. He gets to see the set. He will predict one play that ends up being a touchdown.
I'm taking it that you don't like the fun player props. Like, you don't like the how long is the national anthem going to be? What's the first song?
A minute, 47 seconds.
You don't like those props. You like the –
So he's got the over.
You like the straight ones, right?
It's Gladys Knight, right?
Yeah, Gladys Knight. She's singing the national anthem.
And are the Pips going to be there or just her?
I don't know. No Pips.
Do you want to do the Maroon 5 one, or you want me to give you a football one instead?
I thought they canceled. I thought they weren't even going to show up.
No, they canceled the press conference.
Because they were going to be asked about Kaepernick, and they wanted no parts of that.
Jeez.
What? All right, I got some Rams one. You want some Rams ones?
Yeah, man.
All right, I got Robert Woods, receiving yards, 74.5, over or under?
Under.
How many is he going to catch?
How many catches he's going to have?
How many yards?
Let's say he's going to have 6 catches for 67 yards.
Okay.
Mr. Robert Woods.
All right, Brandon Cooks, 70.5. Over or under?
Well, he's the guy I think that the Patriots are going to try to take away, but he's going to get loose a few times. So I got Brandon Cooks. What was the yardage?
70.5.
Oh, 70. Yeah, you need to go over on that one.
This is one that I've actually bet in real
life.
You
need to go over on that one.
I actually got a couple of wagers out there for the Super Bowl. This is one that I'm taking the under because of what you're saying. I think Belichick takes him out of the game.
So I'm going to go with him about 88 yards.
88?
Yeah, about 3 receptions, 88 yards.
I also have $20 on Philip Dorsett to score a touchdown at any point in the game. Moving on down. You want some more Rams ones? You tell me what you want. You want Rams ones or you want Patriots ones?
I already know you picking the Patriots. You gave me 8 Patriot props, and then you gave me 2 Rams.
I'll take credit for that.
Yeah, I gave you – well, we gave you the ones about the favorite, the New England Patriots. But if you want Rams ones, I got them all right here.
Rams all day.
I got James White receptions. I got Julian Edelman receptions. I got Jared Goff passing yards. You tell me what you want to do.
He ratted off two more Patriots.
He did.
Rams, man. Do you not know who plays for the Rams?
He said Jared Goff, though.
I got whatever you want here. You want a good one?
C.J. Anderson, how many rushing yards for C.J. Anderson?
I got a fun one for you.
I'll go over on him.
I got longest reception for C.J. Anderson, 4.5 yards, over or under.
He don't catch the ball at the backfield. But I'll go over. One little swing route, big chunk, it make a miss, run over somebody, he'll get 5 yards.
Okay, all right, Hunter, you want some rushing yards? I got you, man. You want some rushing? You want some Rams ones?
5 receiving yards on a reception for C.J. Anderson. I got you down for that.
Yeah. All right, Todd Gurley, rushing yards, 70.5, over or under for Todd Gurley?
I thought I said over for Gurley already.
My bad. I was just trying to give you the number. We gave you the one for Cooks.
Oh.
C.J. Anderson, let me find his. Let me make sure I get you a C.J. Anderson. Rushing yards for C.J. Anderson, 49.5. I would take the over on C.J. Anderson rushing yards.
49.5. I'm taking the over on him, too.
James White rushing yards, 19.5.
James White, take the under. 0 rushes for James White. He might rush like 2 for 9 yards or something like that, but.
I'll give you one last Patriots one. James White receptions, 6.5, over or under.
Why is this loaded? I feel like I walked into New England Central around here, man. Like, can we have some balance in this?
I'm out here repping the AFC. I can't rep the AFC.
How much was it? Tell me again. What was it?
It was 6.5 for James White.
6.5 what?
Catches. Total receptions for James White. 6.5. What you got? Barbershop?
I'm going to say he goes under.
You know what I've learned in this? We're not doing any player props that aren't Chiefs ones moving forward with you, Barbershop. We can only do Chiefs ones now.
What are you talking about? You just now went through 18 different props. You gave me about 12 that were Patriots, and then gave me 6 that were Rams. Like, that's like, obviously we know who you favoring. You in Vegas. You trying to make it the setup for the GOAT to have a victory lap. And say, no, man, you still got – he got to go out there and play this game. The Rams defense is going to be something he ain't going to be ready for. He think he ready for it, like that Mike Tyson. He think he ready for it to that first punch hit.
All right, Barbershop.
They willing to do what they got to do.
Last one here, maybe the biggest bet. Mm. Patriots -3. Are you going to take the Patriots as the favorite? Are you going to take the Rams plus the points? And the over-under is 56.5. Give me your score prediction. And do you think it's hitting the over or the under?
The score is going to be 30-33. So that means it's going to the over.
That's cashing the over.
Cashing on the over. And that 33 is going to be by the Rams.
Rams money line.
Game's going to be tightened to the fourth quarter. Now, I do need my man Greg Zuerlein to be healthy. That's the one caveat to my prediction is that I need the kicker to be healthy because, I mean, the game's going to come down to be his big boot that's going to win the game for him.
He kicked a 57-yarder and he was hurt, right?
I know, but they've been playing around in the media and on TV and stuff talking about like he might not be ready and all that kind of stuff. So I just need him to be whatever he got to do to be ready. So 48-yard kick.
To win?
To win the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
Rams.
That's our guy, Barbershop. Barbershop, it was great seeing you, man.
All day, man. Good to see y'all, man. You know, I would say I miss y'all, but I get to see my family more. I get to see my beautiful wife more. It's Valentine's Day coming up. All you suckers better get ready. Get your roses. Get your reservations. Get out to some of these restaurants, take them to the casino or something. Do something good for your lady. If you're smart, happy life.
Well, I would say number one, get something from Shane Company if you're going to get her something for Valentine's Day. Or if you're not, you know, if you're not in the Shane ballpark, I would say last minute, just get her something from Target and she'll be all right.
I'll tell you what they really like this time of the year, though, too, Sean. Man, if you go over to Santa Fe Auto Sound, get them a nice remote car starter. I mean, that's nothing says Valentine's Day like that. SantaFeAutoSound.com.
I actually think you should get her a nice O'Reilly gift card. Yeah. That's what I think you should get her. That's what I think you should get her. Man,
they stacked it on thick, didn't they? Man.
That's our guy, Barbershop. Always good talking to you, my man. Coming up, all right. I've got 5 storylines to get you caring about the Super Bowl. I'll tell you what they are coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word WALK, W-A-L-K, WALK, to 72881. That's WALK. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both, weekdays, 7A to 7P. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
Huh?
Text the word WALK, W-A-L-K, WALK, to 72881. That's WALK. Your National Cash Contest code word for 330 is WALK. You'll have one more chance, or two more chances, to win over the course of the show. Another chance is coming up in 1 hour. Text the word WALK to 72881. So, if you're having a tough time getting into the Super Bowl, that's why I'm here. I've got five storylines, Fanning, to get you caring about the Super Bowl this weekend.
How many again?
Five.
Five, all right.
Number five, the game should be close. There is nothing worse than a bad Super Bowl. You wait all year, you get all fired up for the Super Bowl, and then one team gets absolutely smoked. Nobody wants to watch a Ravens-Giants. Now, I understand in Kansas City, maybe you appreciate it, but Denver getting smoked by Seattle was not a fun Super Bowl to watch. This should be a close game. All eight of Brady's Super Bowls have been one possession games. I don't got to tell you some of the great ones we've seen. Mm-hmm. We've seen two game winning kicks by Adam Vinatieri. We've seen the David Tyree catch. We saw the 28-3 comeback. We saw the Philly special last year. This should be a close, entertaining ball game that goes down to the last 5 minutes. That should have you interested in caring about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it should, because it's going to come down to the wire, more than likely, with the Patriots and the Rams. I mean, if you watch the way these two teams played, I mean, it's not like the Patriots rolled into Kansas City and kicked the crap out of the Chiefs, right? That came down. I mean, it came down to the wire. And then when the Chiefs were in New England, game-winning field goal. Rams played the same way. They played the Saints that way. This is going to be a tight one. I'm with you. I'm hooked. You don't have to convince me, my friend. I'm hooked.
What's up with Todd Gurley is my number four storyline to get you caring about the Super Bowl. I'm a little different than you with this. I don't know what to expect in this game from Todd Gurley. Now, I'm not going to disrespect Todd Gurley. He could come out here and ball out. He could have 125 yards rushing and two touchdown catches and win a Super Bowl MVP. I also wouldn't be surprised that Todd Gurley is injured and is not a part of the game plan for the Los Angeles Rams. What's up with Todd Gurley? Is McVay rolling with C.J. Anderson? In the NFC Championship game, four carries, one catch, only targeted three times. He was just not a part of the game plan in their last game. What's up with Todd Gurley is one of my top five storylines about this game.
Yeah, I mean, the last time he had more than 20 rushes was way back in Week 13 against the Lions. And then if you remember that Chiefs game, got a little bit banged up in that. Had, what, a week and a half off before they took on the Lions? I really think Todd Gurley's going to have a big game in this. I think he's going to be like Gronk against the Chiefs. I think if you sleep on Todd Gurley, I think it's a big mistake for the Patriots.
Number three for me in storylines that you should care about heading into the Super Bowl. I think this is the last game for Rob Gronkowski. He's due to make $10 million next season for the New England Patriots. If there's anything we know about Belichick, he's not keeping a guy that's past his prime, and I think it's kind of clear that Gronk is past his prime. And he's openly said, I'm not playing without Tom Brady. This is the only place I want to play. We got a chance to watch, in my opinion, at his peak, the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL. I think Gronk is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Gronk's been one of the great postseason players in the history of the NFL. I think this is the final game for Rob Gronkowski. What does he say at the end of the game if the Patriots win? Are they doing the Disney World? Is he the guy going to Disney World? I got Rob Gronkowski with a number three storyline. I do think this is the last game for Gronk.
Yeah, I think this is a big storyline to me. And I don't think Gronk is a guy that would come out right after the game and say he's going to retire, especially if they win the game. I don't think Gronk wants to take it away from what the Patriots did. If he does, in fact, retire, I think it's going to be midweek or it's going to be after that once things calm down.
Number two for me, it's the young versus old storyline at quarterback. There should be a lot of points in this game. It's the second highest over-under of all time, second behind Patriots and Falcons from a couple of years ago. You've got the old head in Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. You've got the young gun in Jared Goff. I think the quarterback matchup in this one and the amount of points and offense I think is going to be scored. You've got two of the, four best offenses in the NFL. The Rams are a dynamic offense. Mm-hmm. The Patriots offense I wouldn't really call dynamic, but certainly can put up points, and I think you can move the ball against the Rams. The quarterback matchup, the old head against the young gun, the quarterback matchup is my number two storyline heading into this game.
And I'm looking forward to how Jared Goff responds in this game and how he plays. I mean, he certainly said all the right things, and I've watched a bunch of his media availabilities. He looks like he's doing all the right things. He looks like he's handling it well, being a young quarterback going into a Super Bowl. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fun matchup. You know Brady's going to go out there and have a great game. Can Jared Goff match him?
And I kind of feel like with Jared Goff, there's a little bit of disconnect, I guess, with maybe the respect for him, that McVay gets so much of the praise that, like me, I even doubt Jared Goff a little bit. If he comes out here and balls out in the Super Bowl, like the conversation that we had about Joe Flacco a couple years ago that ended up being a joke, we're going to have that conversation about Jared Goff. Like, I know Chiefs fans, you'd think that it's clear that Mahomes is better than him. Let Jared Goff go out and ball out in the Super Bowl. There will be a conversation that Jared Goff is the best quarterback in the NFL. I think we are 60 minutes away from that if Goff plays well and the Rams win.
But I think part of the reason why McVay gets a lot of the love when it comes to Jared Goff is because we saw Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher. You know, and now McVay comes in and all of a sudden – Jared Goff has a really, really great season, gets him into the playoffs, and now they're in the Super Bowl in year two.
Yeah, Goff just had a really bad first impression that people just never recover from, which I think we just see that Jeff Fisher's just not very good at coaching in the NFL. Last thing here, my number one storyline, it's the coaching matchup. You've got the greatest coach of all time, and in somebody, I think, if you factor in his age and what he's accomplished so far, I think it is very much up for grabs that Sean McVay can be on the coaching Mount Rushmore by the time he's done. Mm-hmm. He is 33 years old, and this is his second year of coaching. I think McVay is a genius. I think that McVay can be this generation's Bill Walsh. You have him going up against Belichick and the mind that he is. They've only faced each other one time. Belichick got that matchup. Is it going to be similar how we talked about how Brady was going to hand the torch over to Mahomes? Could it be in this situation where Belichick hands the torch over to Sean McVay? That's my number one storyline and why you should care about the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, just think about this for a little bit. Bill Belichick is twice as old as Sean McVay. That can't have happened very often in the National Football League. Bill Belichick, 66. Sean McVay is 33. You're right. He is a genius. I mean, he was 30 years old when he got this job, and now he's 33, and 2 years later, he's in the Super Bowl. That's going to be a great matchup. And the other thing that I love about Sean McVay, too, is that he got smoked by Belichick the first time he went up against him, and he took it, he owned it, and said, boy, I learned a lot from getting beat by Bill Belichick. So this one, to me, that's probably the most intriguing matchup. You've got a great offensive young mind for the Rams, and you've got the best defensive mind in the NFL in Belichick.
You actually think that McVay is the Patrick Mahomes of coaches?
I do. If you look at a lot of the things that McVay has done and the age that he is, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, you know, and McVay was a wide receiver at Miami of Ohio and played against Kent State when Julian Edelman was the quarterback. Just let that sink in for a little bit. You got a receiver for the Patriots that played against the coach of the LA Rams. I mean, that's nuts. And McVay, in my opinion, should be the first back-to-back NFL coach of the year since Joe Gibbs did it. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think it's a new and shiny thing. I think there's a decent chance that Anthony Lynn of the LA Chargers wins this. But, yeah, I do think that McVay is the Mahomes of coaches. I think he is a genius. I think Mahomes is a quarterback genius. And, you know, when this season started, I think we all agreed that the Rams would either go to the Super Bowl or they had the potential to implode because of some of the big and controversial personalities they signed in the offseason, like Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. And, I realize that those guys are on the defense and that sort of Wade Phillips show over there. But Sean McVay is the head coach of this team, and he's 33, and he's got a couple of guys that are older than him on his squad. Hell, his right tackle in Andrew Whitworth is 4 years older than him. So Sean McVay is not supposed to be this good and this accomplished this early in his career. So I absolutely think that he is, in fact, the Patrick Mahomes of coaches in the NFL right now.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll play Pick a Player. We'll give you a chance to win a prize. But first, Patrick Mahomes will get his MVP award this weekend. And you actually think about, we'll get back into Tony Gonzalez. And there is a sporting event that many of you will consider to be the biggest this week that has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will play Pick a Player to give you a chance to win a prize. Today, you will go up against our producer, Brandon Kiley, in Pick a Player. Let's see how he does. So, I just saw this and scrolled across my timeline. Drew Brees is not planning on staying in Atlanta this weekend for the NFL Honors. That's where they give out all the awards. So, Coach of the Year, MVP,
Probably
Rookie of the Year,
right?
All that stuff. It tells me that Drew Brees knows he ain't winning the award. So, hey, I'd rather go ahead and go home. Hey, all respect to that's kind of what it tells me. Brees saying that he's not staying in Atlanta tells me that he already knows he isn't winning the award. So I think we've known this for a while, probably since week 16 of the NFL season, when I think Brees just didn't do enough the second half of the season to kind of stay in it. And they're never like the buzz for Andrew Luck never seemed to pick up enough. And Mahomes, I mean, once he got the 5,000 yards of 50 touchdown passes, it kind of became fairly obvious who was going to win MVP. So I think we all are expecting Mahomes to win MVP this year. He will become the youngest player to win MVP since Dan Marino. And I looked this up, Fanning. I did not know this, actually. He is the first player to win MVP under the age of 25 since Terrell Davis back in 1998. So, like, you don't win MVP at this stage in your career. Normally you win at like 26, 27, 28. That's when you kind of get your first MVP award. You don't win MVP for the first time at 23 years old the way Mahomes is about to.
Yeah, and I'll keep saying this too, man. I think last year, you know, when he was tutored under Alex Smith and Andy Reid, when he got to sit and watch, I mean, I do believe this. I think we may look back and say that was one of the most important years of his career, to be able to sit back and learn in a perfect situation with a veteran quarterback that's a pro, that was willing to help Mahomes learn the offense and teach him what to do. And I think without Alex Smith and without that year sitting, I don't think Mahomes wins MVP this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to say to me in that context. Like, to me, either side could be right in this. I mean, he did have Andy Reid coaching him, and it was, hey, you're going to get to learn from one of the best out there. More than anything, I kind of think maybe a more interesting question is, I actually think the Chiefs are better in 2017 if they have Mahomes over Alex Smith. Just seeing what we saw from him and just living with the growing pains and knowing what they can do offensively. I just think he's just more talented than Alex Smith. They're like, to me, some people figure it out. Like, Peyton Manning didn't have to learn behind anybody. Peyton Manning was just going to be Peyton Manning at some point.
Like, Peyton Manning threw like 20-some-odd picks or something in his rookie year, too.
Yeah, and then he eventually figured out to become one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time, that I kind of feel like Mahomes just eventually, just his talent and just some of the stuff he can do. Like, Alex can tell you so much. He can't throw the ball 75 yards down the field and do some of the no-look stuff. Like, to me, Mahomes is just always going to figure it out because he's just a once-in-a-generational physical talent.
No, I get that. I'm with you on that. But I think a lot of times we just sugarcoat or we don't pay attention to things that we don't see. And I feel like I've heard enough over the last, what, 6, 8, 9 months or whatever to know that last year for Mahomes is a really big year, a big learning year for him that got him ready for this season. And so I'm not saying it's going to be the most important year of his career, but I don't think he'd have 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards if he didn't sit for a year behind Alex Smith.
Text line 69306. Mahomes and his father both said without Alex, he wouldn't be here where he's at. They give him credit completely. Andy and Alex. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not giving Alex any credit for it. I certainly think he played his part. I just think that we've oversold it a little bit with Mahomes, and that just he is one of the talents of people that are going. Some people probably need more of the help than others. I don't know if Mahomes, just given the physical traits that he has, maybe needed as much help as the Chiefs are trying to sell to it.
I don't know. I mean, this offense was a hell of a lot more complicated than what he came from at Texas Tech, and he had to learn that. You know, and I think one of the things coming in, I mean, I know you were one of the people that was freaking out in training camp because he was throwing interceptions.
I wasn't freaking out, but I was concerned about
it. Yeah, and I wasn't, because that's where you go make mistakes before the season starts. I mean, how many of those would have come out in regular season games if he was playing last year? Maybe the Chiefs don't win the AFC West if Mahomes has to go through all those growing pains last year. So, and I think Mahomes had a terrific year this year, and he's certainly not the reason why they're not in the Super Bowl.
Could you argue that he'd be further ahead if he had played last year instead of sitting?
I don't know. That's a really, really good question.
Because I think for some quarterbacks, we'll find out. Like Josh Rosen this year got thrown into the fire probably earlier than he should have. Let's see how he responds. Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I don't think was ready to start in the NFL, but started last year, kind of took the growing pains. Baker Mayfield started last year. Can he take the jump forward? Like, we'll never have the answer on either side, so you can kind of come to your own conclusion in this context. But, like, Baker played this year, had some growing pains, had a coaching change in the middle, saw some success toward the end of his year. Like, let's see how these guys that had a completely different path to the NFL and a completely different path to their second year than Mahomes, let's see how they grow in year two. Because I expect either Rosen or Darnold to take huge step forwards next year.
Yeah, and I mean, the plan in Cleveland was for Baker to not play. He was going to back up Tyrod Taylor the entire season. They were trying to do what the Chiefs were doing in Kansas City with Mahomes. So, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that Mahomes is going to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns if he wasn't tutored by Alex and had a chance to learn the offense for an entire season instead of, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's offensive coordinator holding up a picture of a palm tree and that's the play you run. I mean, it's so much more complex. I mean, you hear about Mahomes making the right call, the right protection calls, and doing all these things that most of us have no idea about when we watch the game. But you talk to Jeff Schwartz, you talk to offensive linemen, you talk to people that were there for it, and you find out how hard it was to learn everything that he learned. I mean, I think it's a lot to process for a young kid and a young quarterback, no matter what the talent level. I think that year gave him a chance to put everything together.
You actually think Mahomes winning MVP this year is bigger than Tony Gonzalez?
I do, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday. We were trying to figure out why there's not more buzz in Kansas City about Tony Gonzalez going to be he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll find out tomorrow. And my feeling on that is that I don't consider Tony right now at least a true Kansas Cityan. Some people, you know, think it's because, you know, he played, what, 5, 6 years in Atlanta at the end of his career. I'm also on record saying that I think it's because they didn't really make any postseason runs when Tony Gonzalez was here. He never won a playoff game. And so I think that, coupled with the fact that we actually have a quarterback in Kansas City that's never won an MVP. There's never been an MVP that's been a Kansas City Chief, ever. No Chief has ever won this award, and now we have a quarterback that's going to do it. We've had guys go into the Hall of Fame before. There's a ton of them. You know, I mean, you can go down the list. Willie Lanier, Derek Thomas, on and on. Lenny, you know, Marcus Allen. I mean, there's a ton of Will Shields. I mean, I can go on and on and on about it. This has never happened before. And not only has it never happened before, but this is a guy that we got to see play this year. And it's also the beginning of a new era in Kansas City that could give us a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. So, yeah, I think when this gets announced, I think this will be bigger and will overshadow Tony Gonzalez going into the Hall of Fame.
I think that Kansas playing Texas Tech is bigger than Tony Gonzalez going in the Hall of Fame this week in terms of buzz.
Yeah.
Like we say,
I agree.
I mean, if we had to rate on a scale from 1 to 10, Tony Gonzalez going in the Hall of Fame in Kansas City this week in the buzz, what are you putting in it? I think it's like a 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not big. Nobody's come up and said anything to me about it in public.
I haven't heard
family,
any conversation
friends,
about it.
No text messages from buddies, nothing. Zero. It may not even be a 2 in Kansas City. Now, I think when it happens, that's when the chatter will start. But before then, I don't. It's not a big deal in Kansas City right now.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I would probably say next summer when he actually goes in, and then we'll see.
I'm
guessing that Kansas City is probably going to play in the Hall of Fame game. It would make all the sense in the world.
Sure.
Mahomes, first game, Tony Gonzalez is there. You want to showcase him. Mahomes plays the one series. He's there. I'm guessing the Chiefs are probably playing in the Hall of Fame game next year.
Yeah, I think that's when it really sinks in, and that's the big deal. Because we know he's going in. We know he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, and maybe that's part of the two seed out. It's done. It's over. I mean, we know he's going into the Hall of Fame. There's no way Tony Gonzalez does not go in.
Are you worried about your Jayhawks this weekend?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, how could you not be a little bit worried? I mean, the way they played lately, come on now. What, are they lost 3 or 4? I mean, they are at Allen Fieldhouse, so that, I mean, I think that takes a little of the edge off.
I would say that would take all the edge off for me if I was a KU fan.
Yeah, that takes a little.
They just don't lose in that building.
Yeah, they don't. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see how you couldn't be concerned about them the way they're playing. I mean, I think they're underachieving right now big time. You got young guards that aren't doing their thing. Dedrick Lawson is not playing the way we thought. Azubuike is out. I'm certainly not going to depend on LeGerald Vick for a ton. I mean, he's on and off and on and off, and Marcus Garrett can't score. So, yeah, I think there's reason for concern for sure.
Let me ask you this. Does a win do anything for you? Because much of this KU team's problem is winning on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're losing this weekend. You don't think they're losing this weekend. Brandon, I assume you don't have KU losing this weekend.
No.
Everybody has them winning this weekend.
Yeah.
The issue with KU is not can they take care of business at Allen Fieldhouse. I think we all know they can. The issue is can they win on the road? But it is a win over a top 15 team, one of the better teams in the conference. Winning at home against Texas Tech is a good win. I think we can know. If they lose, the loss is going to put the panic meter at a 9.5.
Totally.
If they lose at Allen Fieldhouse. But I kind of think like a win won't really resonate with KU fans. And I don't know. I'm not a KU fan. But just given how often you guys win in that building and the likeliness of you winning in the building, I don't know if a win really does much to calm the fears of KU fans.
Well, I think you need the win over Texas Tech because as you said, you got to keep winning at home if you still want to win the Big 12 championship. But right around the corner, you've got K-State coming up on the road. So the last thing you want is to lose at home against Texas Tech with a really young team and with young guards and some new dudes, and then all of a sudden you got to roll into Manhattan. I know K-State laid an egg against Texas A&M, which I still can't figure that one out, other than the fact that it's K-State and that's what happens sometimes. The last thing you want is to lose this game at Tech and have to go on the road at K-State because you know it's going to be a zoo in Manhattan for that one.
That's why I wouldn't be that worried about it because K-State has another one of those games in them, probably 2.
Yeah.
Baylor has a couple of those games in them.
Iowa State
has a couple of those games in them. I don't think KU has that many more left in them.
I just have a hard time believing that, you know, last year when KU went into K-State, right? I mean, K-State was playing pretty good. You got Dean Wade, you got Barry Brown. You know, I mean, and those guys went out there, and I think, and Bruce Weber even talked about it. Remember last year in Manhattan that they tried too hard? They wanted it too much. Now you got a year older. The team that went to the Elite Eight, I don't think it's going to happen with K-State against KU this year in Manhattan. I think they're going to be ready for KU. I don't think we're a little bit tense. We're trying too hard. We're doing this, you know, to play Kansas. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I don't think that will happen with this crew.
Let's see if they win. I mean, because that's a very easy thing to say when you lose. You know what I mean?
But,
hey,
I mean,
we
experience,
came out, we tried too hard, all that kind
of
stuff.
But experience is a lot of it, man. I mean, and you've got a lot of these guys back. Dotson and Grimes and Charlie Moore, they haven't rolled into a K-State KU game. When KU's been this vulnerable going into K-State, you got a battle-tested K-State game, K-State team, went to the Elite Eight. Dean Wade's back playing great. Barry Brown's there. I think it's going to be tough for KU to win it in Manhattan.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in today's Pick a Player going up against our guy, Brandon Kiley. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. Pick a Player up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.